Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Yes.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Winter Olympics continue in Italy. It's day 7 of competition in Milan Cortina. Team USA is third in overall medal count with 8. Norway leads with 13. Italy's got 11. The Norwegians also lead in gold with 7. The U.S. has 2. Team USA women's hockey finished group play 4-0 with a 5-0 shutout of Canada on Tuesday. They'll play Italy Friday at 3:10 in the quarterfinals. Zach Werenski and the U.S. men's team open group play tomorrow at 3:10 against Elvis Merzlikens in Latvia. In college hoops, 3 top 10 teams fell on Tuesday, including number 7 Nebraska and number 8 Illinois. Ohio State looks to rebound from Sunday's loss to Michigan. Buckeyes will host USC tonight at 6:30. You can hear that game on the Fan with coverage at 5:30, while the 8th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's back at the Shot Sunday hosting number 20 Maryland. You can hear that one on the Fan with coverage Sunday at 1:45. This update sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats is a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero. From now until March 31st, buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3:10 o'clock. We'll tack a little higher or lower. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your questions into the fellas at 971BFS. We can also do that in the YouTube chat. We will get to that at 11 o'clock. Chris Fanini going to join us at 11:30. And, of course, you're officially endorsed on this fine First Friday. Where were you 26 years ago yesterday? 26 years ago yesterday.
I have no idea.
Well, you know your age.
Yeah.
26 years ago yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds traded Brett Tomko, Mike Cameron, minor leaguers Antonio Perez and Jake Meyer to the Seattle Mariners for Ken Griffey Jr.
The original I'm coming home.
The original I'm coming home. And it's one of those things that growing up where I did and the impact that Ken Griffey Jr. had on that region in baseball is pretty hard to put into perspective. But you didn't have to grow up there either because he was the biggest. Ken Griffey Jr. may have been, up until recent years, he certainly was during that time, the biggest baseball superstar on the planet. And he crossed over well beyond baseball. He was the type of guy who would show up on stuff with like Jordan and Gretzky, and then he would be the other guy. That's kind of the way that Ken Griffey Jr. was. He was also, it's interesting because my kids now are really into trading cards at the moment, and his rookie card was like the first real rookie card that everybody looked for. Was the Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. That's the one that you look for. It's a pretty fascinating decision that he made at that time because we found out later that he would only have okayed a trade to one team. It was only Cincinnati. That is the only place. So he used his true leverage, of which he had a lot, and he basically said, I'm going to play for the Cincinnati Reds, or I'm going to play one more year in Seattle, and then I'm going to walk, and you're going to get nothing. and he chose to go home for the Cincinnati Reds. Now, this return was not storybook. Bake, you'd have a better handle on the way that that is viewed now, his years in Cincinnati. But he had a natural breakdown of his physical abilities that would happen of somebody who is not using performance-enhancing drugs and someone who just has a natural body breakdown. And that's what he had over the majority of his time in Cincinnati. But it does not take away at all from the decision that was made in the moment. And it did get me thinking about what are the transactional moments that you recall from your sports fandom that defied all logic and had the highest level of, wait, what is happening? We're getting whom? And the one that jumps out to me is when the Browns acquired Odell Beckham Jr. We were at the combine. Baker Mayfield had shown in the second half of his rookie year that you thought that there was a chance that you were onto something special. The Cleveland Browns were a top four pick to win the Super Bowl coming out of Baker's rookie year because of all of the young talent that they had had and Nick Chubb and Miles and all of it. And then they randomly acquired Odell Beckham Jr. And we were at the combine, and I remember John Dorsey speaking to the Giants general manager, give me a call. And then within a couple of weeks of the combine, the Browns had Odell Beckham Jr. And Zagura and I did a pop-up podcast of it for Cleveland Browns Daily that was the number one sports podcast in the world. It charted number one in the world after that. And so there are these moments that happen in your fandom. And I have to imagine if you are a Cincinnati Reds fan, that moment 26 years ago yesterday is one you'll never forget. Because whatever happened afterwards, that can't be helped. But in that one moment, the best player on the planet chose you. He chose to come home.
That would definitely be one of mine as a Reds fan. That would definitely...
What do you remember about it?
I just remember it was kind of a shock. And at the time, you're like, really? Mike Cameron? And Brett Tomko was a young up-and-coming pitcher that you thought maybe had something.
Yeah.
But Mike Cameron, who actually turned out to be a pretty good player for the Seattle Mariners, at the time was kind of just a defensive-only center fielder for the Reds. And you're like, really? This is all you gave up for this? So you gave up for Ken Griffey Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, oh boy, here we go. Because the Reds had some, I believe at the time, the outfield would have been Griffey Jr., Adam Dunn, who was still pretty young in his career, and you thought there was potential there. And I believe it was Chris Heisey was the other one, who was another outfielder that was young, and you thought, oh, boy.
And you still had Barry.
Yeah, so it was, and you're right, you never got your return on investment probably because injuries kind of hampered a lot of his time in Cincinnati. I think the moment that I remember the most of Ken Griffey Jr. in Cincinnati was that he hit his 500 and 600th home runs with you, but the 500th one was on Father's Day. And that was a big thing, obviously, with Ken Griffey Sr. and all of that. So that's probably the moment I'll remember the most.
I'd say the biggest one for me, I mean, the Odell Beckham one was huge. You know, the results from that were what they were. I'd say LeBron's return in 2014 was pretty big because you knew right away it meant the Cavs were NBA championship contenders. And it happened in an era where you were picking first, second, third overall for Cleveland. And I remember that coming out of nowhere. Johnny Gaudreau signing with the Columbus Blue Jackets in free agency of 2022 is a big one. I'll never forget feeling this is the weirdest I've ever felt as a sports fan watching Urban Meyer talk as Ohio State's head coach for the first time. That's probably the number one, like, what's happening here? Because you just remember
Wait,
him
we got Urban?
Beating the brakes off of you in the national championship and running with Nick Saban through the SEC and through college football. And you're like, how do we get here?
That's a good one. Yeah, those are all incredible. The LeBron one I was on air for here. When that happened, and social media existed, but it was still kind of in its infancy. And we were, we had Get Up. I don't even think it was called Get Up. It was something else. It might have been like not it was whatever the Jay Crawford
cold
show
pizza
was. Yeah, it was kind of like, but it was ever the new version of that was, and I remember there was a graphic and it was the Sports Illustrated cover. I mean, remember Sports Illustrated, I don't even think exists anymore. It was a Sports Illustrated cover with Lee Jenkins that said he's coming home, and you were like, oh my god, then it flips. Now all of a sudden you can contend and you're back in the mix. The Gaudreau one was so out of nowhere when he signed. And Reese, we were doing the show at that time, and it was, I remember you saying in the ad at the beginning of free agency, like, we were like, all right, Jack, it's free agent plan. What is it? And you're like, Johnny Gaudreau, Nazem Kadri. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but really, like, let's not do that stuff. Like, let's not do that.
Did Greg Wyshynski, when he was on with us last week, throw out Kadri as a potential free agent?
He did.
He's a trade deadline guy.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Yeah. Those were all in jest, because I thought, you know, look, Blue Jackets aren't really, you know, going to be able to do much in free agency because it's the Blue Jackets, and the big fish that were out there were only pipe dreams. And then what happened?
Yeah. And then it was Johnny, and it was like, wait, what? And I do think that there is something to how hard it is once you do something like this to deliver on it. You know, I mean, there is an incredible amount of pressure when you make a decision like that. And the ones that we're talking about, Johnny's was obviously stunned by tragedy. But even before the tragedy, it wasn't an immediate, like, 40 goals. Like, that didn't happen. And the same thing, it didn't happen with Junior. It didn't happen with Odell with the Browns either. It is hard to do these things.
I thought of another one with the Reds. And it's not the magnitude of Ken Griffey Jr., but when they got Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, wait a second, Deion Sanders is coming to Cincinnati? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then there's two more with the Blue Jackets that I'll always remember, one in a good way and one in a bad. Artemi Panarin. That came out of left field when Yarmo pulled that off at the...
Brandon Saad, right?
Going back to Chicago for the... I believe that was at the NHL draft when that happened, and that was a shocker.
Wasn't that because Chicago couldn't compensate him along with Taze and Kane and everything else?
I don't know.
Because it's not like they didn't think he was good. I think it was a money thing.
It could have been a money thing. It was also Brandon Saad had played well with Jonathan Taves, and Jonathan Taves had kind of fallen off a little bit, so they were trying to revive him as well and maybe rekindle that magic, because Patrick Kane was playing well with whoever he was playing with.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a thing to get Jonathan Taves coming back. And then I've talked about this before, and I know that he had requested a trade, so you knew something was happening. But I was playing in a golf outing that Rick Nash was playing in the day he got traded to the New York Rangers. And Rick Nash was starting the golf outing, and then he didn't play in it anymore because he had to leave. So I will always remember that one. And it wasn't a shocker. It wasn't a surprise. He had asked for it. But just like, wow, he's right here, and now he's not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jackets have several. I mean, the Adam Foote one is one. The
Fedorov,
Jeff Carter as well, where that one surprised him. He had just re-signed with Philly, and all of a sudden he was traded to Columbus, and he's like, well, this was not in the brochure, and they had to go to his beach house in Jersey to try to convince him to end up coming here and showing up. So there's a lot of them. If you have some, hit us up, and we'll have a little bit of fun with this as it goes along. We have a beard off that is happening as well. We will get into that, among other things, coming up next. We're off and running on a First Friday edition, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bone and Tybus.
Someone needs to summon it. That's how I look at that box of fries. You know what? You said you got to be 2-something to do something. Well, to eat that, you got to be 3-something to do something.
T-Bone and Tybus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
After quite the warm day yesterday, a big change today with mostly cloudy skies and highs struggling to get just above the freezing mark and gusty winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy with overnight lows down into the 20s. And then for Thursday, expect skies to stay mostly cloudy with our highs right around or just above freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
And Bishop and Friends is, of course, sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. There are a ton of these. This is a good one from Tyler for the old cab heads out there. Danny Ferry was huge back in the day. Thought he was the next Bird. There are some of those. The Lakers as a kid pulled off some of these. I wasn't a kid at this time, but I remember when they pulled off the Pau Gasol one. That was an attention getter that somehow they were going to be able to do that. The biggest one as a Lakers fan as a kid was when somehow Jerry West convinced Shaquille O'Neal to become a Los Angeles Laker in free agents and take less money to do so. And that flipped it, because you had the Showtime Lakers through the 80s and early 90s, and then there was this gap. Now, I love the gap because I love Nick Van Exel. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Beamsy actually wears number 9 for Nick the Quick in AAU as an homage to Nick Van Exel, who's just an all-timer. But that trade allowed for that. It is rare, though, that it happens here. Typically, it is the glamorous places that pull these things off and are able to get it done. Probably one of the most surprising, wait, what is happening, was the I'm back Michael Jordan return after the gambling 2 years away, and then he came back and he was wearing 45 and kind of all that came with it. So there's a lot of really cool ones out there. From a Blue Jackets perspective, I think the Johnny one is the most just completely out of nowhere, though. I mean, it just was so stunning the way that it happened, how it happened. You were not even a team that was even in the conversation around it, and then all of a sudden it happened. The Urban one was interesting because he was the only logical choice. But that season was pretty weird too, in that he had stepped away because of the exhaustion that happened at the end of Florida. He was working for ESPN at that time, and so you'd hear him on broadcasts. He was doing broadcasts, and then every once in a while he'd show up on game day. But he was, everybody knew the lineage. Everybody knew how close he was to Coach Bruce, and everybody knew that he's an Ashtabula native, and then Buckeyes and Irish were the two kind of pillars, dream jobs that were out there for him. But you had to get to that, to the finish line too. And there was, you know, it seems, it's hard to believe it now because of the way everything transpired, but there was a great deal of momentum here that season to keep Luke Fickell. A great deal of momentum to keep Luke Fickell. And it probably wasn't until, you know, the loss in the Michigan game and even before that, that last month leading up to the hiring of Urban, that it became, you know, okay, well, this maybe we do need to move in a little bit of a different direction here. But I can tell you, I'll never forget doing the show with AR after they hired Urban. And at that time, we still took quite a bit of calls. And there was a great deal of consternation about Urban Meyer being the coach at Ohio State. A great deal. It was not a home run. It was not Nick Saban going to Bama. It was, can he win here? I don't want him. He whipped our best team at Florida. And it wasn't universal, like, we've got our guy. That was not it. Now, once you went to that first press conference at the Fawcett Center and he got to answer questions and handle his business, at that point it became, okay, yeah, we got a guy at this point. And that's when I coined the phrase, this is Don Draper selling Mercedes-Benz. And that was long before John Hamm started selling Mercedes-Benz. But we coined that all those years ago, that's what it was. And that was the analogy I used to explain to Buckeye fan how easy this was going to be for him here, that him selling this was going to be on a different level. But it was not viewed universally as, we've got our savior. That this was not that at all when Urban was hired here.
And I think there was, you know, certainly controversy with how he left Florida. And I don't think it was as exposed as it got in years after that, but like the teams that he had at Florida and the cast of characters that he coached and some of the trouble that they got into while in Gainesville. Like, I know it was out there, but I don't think it was as widely known when he took the job for Ohio State. And then I also think just how things had ended and where the program was for Ohio State. There were people that felt like, is this what we, and by we, I mean Ohio State and Ohio State Athletics, want to be doing coming fresh off of Tatgate? Because you just,
fair.
There were too many unknowns with that. And then, yeah, I remember after the press conference, and as soon as you saw what it was on the football field, you're like, okay, this will be great.
Yeah.
And it was.
Well, he landed Noah Spence like in a week. Who was the number one defensive player in the country. And we weren't even recruiting him, and somehow he landed him in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people had a negative taste with Urban Meyer because beat the brakes off Ohio State in a national championship, fact. And they didn't like that.
Yes, that's 100%. There was that. That was a big part of it as well, that there was some trepidation by it. But it's fun when you have one of these, and you had one if you're – I don't know if it's not on this level, but you had kind of a really shocking trade last week with James Harden. We'll see what happens at the NHL trade deadline. If the Blue Jackets can do something pretty shocking. It would have been fun to have Brad back, but that happened last week, obviously, with him to Los Angeles, and he kind of dictated that, right? Like, I'm just going to play for LA.
Yeah, he. I think everybody said his first options were in Florida, but neither of those teams had the money to pull it off. So then it was like, okay, he's going to LA.
Yeah. Look, guys like living in those type of places. Those are fun places to live when you have a lot of means at your disposal. So something happened at the end of our show yesterday, and Bake issued, what would you categorize it? A bit of a challenge? Is that what we would say?
I don't even think I would issue it as a challenge, because I don't think there is a challenge. I think it's unquestioned.
But that what did you commit us to?
Is the best facial hair on the show. And I said, Rothman has a beard now, and now Cole has a beard, and maybe they were thinking of coming after us as the best.
So they're coming.
Facial hair. Okay. And then I saw Maddie out at the microwave, because Maddie's always at the microwave. Mm-hmm. And I said, dude, I was like, you guys already, you're number five, we were number six. You already beat us in the rankings there, in the show, the best show rankings. So why are you guys coming after the facial hair? That's all I said.
Okay.
Quick joke in jest.
And then he had a response on air, correct? And that's what we're going to listen to now.
And we've been challenged as a show, the three of us. We've been challenged by one Ryan Baker, one third of Bishop and Friends, which you can catch 9 to noon right here on the phone.
To an athletic challenge?
And he, no, it wasn't athletic.
Well, that's too bad.
He threw out a challenge, and he thinks that their show has better facial hair than our show. Because you've got the beard going right now. You've been getting nothing but high praise around here with your beard. And I think it's absolutely incredible that you're doing this. And I want you to see that through. But he believes that he and Eric Reeser alone can out-duel us in some type of beard facial hair competition. Because Uncle Bo, he's still babyface Uncle Bo right now. And so
he's got a beard.
Is he going beard right now?
I think he's had a beard for a long time.
Okay, so I stand corrected on that. But Ryan Baker thinks that Bishop and Friends has better facial hair than Rothman and I. And I said, my boys are, look, we got this on lock right now.
I know. They probably do.
No, AR, don't give them that. Don't bend the knee to them.
They're like a wired-haired terrier right now. This is no good.
With your beard, TLC can grow a beard in the blink of an eye. He can cut his beard off and grow it back in 2 days. We got this on lock. So I just want to let you guys know, we've been challenged. Ryan Baker is challenging us right now for a beard off.
So so there's a lot of great stuff there. One of my favorite things is AR was really excited for the athletic challenge portion of it. He was really hoping it was an athletic challenge. Now, knowing AR the way that I do, an athletic challenge for him would be golf or tennis, of which we would have no chance. Now, our collective golf, I cannot speak to Cole or Maddie. I don't think that any of the three of us are in the vicinity. I know I'm not. I won't speak for either of you in the vicinity of AR from a golf standpoint. No. Not even in the vicinity. So, and same with tennis, because I believe that at one point he was in a mixed doubles team with Chrissy Everett. I think that happened. They dated. He was young.
It's amazing.
Little Mrs. Robinson thing. Nope. Nobody gets hurt. We would have no chance. In that. Now, if we were to play, and Maddie was a good baseball player.
He was.
But I think we're all fine in that world. I would feel very confident in our hoops ability.
Cole was a good baseball player too, I believe, at Dublin Kaufman.
I mean, I was all state. You want to make it rain? I mean, what do we need to do here? What do we got to do? What do we got to do to get this done? So here's the problem, though. Like, with all due respect to Cole's beard growing abilities, there's no chance that he's like Reese. Reese is Wolverine. He could grow a full beard in 6 hours from clean shaven. I've never seen anything like it, and it's full. I mean, if you wanted to be, if Reese wants to be Jeremiah Johnson, he could be Jeremiah Johnson in a week.
Yeah, I could understand why, you know, Rothman was hesitant in that regard, because the three don't match up. It's not fair.
No, like, no. I don't.
Do you want to see Mike Tyson box a child? Like, that's what we're doing here in that sense.
Yeah, Cole may be able to grow a beard fast, but it's not as full as any of ours. No way.
And again, I maintain that Cole's not growing a beard. Cole's just not shaving.
And there's a distinction.
This is an effort being put into
that.
Also, how does Maddie not know that you've had a beard for 10 years now? What are we doing?
I think I shave once a year. I usually do it around spring break. I shave clean shaven once a year because from 1998 until 2015, I had to shave every day pretty much. And so, like I'm not doing it anymore. I'm good.
If there was a show that would challenge us, I would say it would be T-Bone and Tyvus, but Dylan has that rat mustache, so I don't think that they would even be in our stratosphere. Yeah.
I don't know if do we want to do like shapes? How are we going to judge this? I mean, I feel like we're 91 UNLV. I don't see any scenario we're going to get upset.
I'd have to remove myself from any beard conversation because Valentine's Day is Saturday and it's been requested leave the mustache.
Of course.
I've got orders that I'm not deviating from.
It'll be back by Monday.
Well, maybe.
Oh, I bet there are orders for the mustache, Chris Pine Jr. I bet there are.
Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Guy's walking around like he's starring in Hell or High Water at any moment. Just snap the fingers and he's ready to go. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll put some sort of a rule together and we can have a judge. I feel very confident in us in this. And I think, with the exception to golf, even on golf, we might be okay. I have no idea if Cole and Maddie golf, but obviously AR would be far and away the best. That would be tennis, they'd crush us. Just AR could beat the rest of us by himself at that. I mean, I think that's where
we could stack the three of us on one side of the court, right. And just AR,
all of us in pods. I might be able to hang in pickleball for about 10 minutes.
And maybe if we gave Rothman, if we bought him shoes so he couldn't use his good feet insoles.
It's the best chance
we got him that way.
Guy's unbelievable at bar games. I guarantee you he's great at pool. Well, I know he is because he beat Minnesota Fats in pool. So I guarantee he's good at darts. I guarantee he's good at foosball. He's a great bar game guy. Don't ever go against him in bar games. It goes very poorly. Maybe Papa Shot I could get him at. Speaking of Papa Shot, the Buckeyes could use some Papa Shot to go their way tonight. A must win. We'll get to it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And Zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Well, what's up on a first Friday is Ohio State is playing a home basketball game tonight at 6:30. They are hosting the University of Southern California, the Men of Troy coming in here. USC 18-6, Buckeyes 15-8, both are 7-6 in the league. When you look at the schedule, you look at this one, the one on Saturday as well, and you say, okay, we have got to take care of business if the objective is to make the tournament in March. And that is the minimum requirement, I would suggest, of this team this year. Here's Jake Diebler from his show on the two big games this week.
Yeah, two really good teams that are huge opportunities for us. Excited to be at home on Wednesday. That's a team that's very similar where we are in standings and things. So it's a big time game. And the Virginia game, we're excited to go out of conference, play a really quality opponent in a great venue. And that was by design. We wanted, you know, to again have a really good, hard non-conference schedule. You anticipate. You don't always get it right on how it shakes out as the year progresses, but we wanted to play a true road game, we play a true home game, then we wanted some good, you know, neutral games, and this is certainly one of them.
Why do you think they want neutral games? Is there a benefit to it?
Well, they're not getting much of a home court advantage.
We'll get to that.
So, I mean, that's the cynical take on it. I don't know why. I don't know why you ever want to in college athletics, really. If you're if you're the coach of a team. Now, I get why universities would want it, because if Nashville or if Bridgestone Arena is giving you a big check.
Sure.
Sure.
But it's about the money.
If you're Jake Diebler and his team, I guess if the money's going to NIL efforts to help you with your roster. But yeah, I would always want to either us or our place or yours.
I mean, this is going to be, I have no idea. My hunch is this part of a doubleheader, Ohio State, Virginia on Saturday? Is somebody else playing too?
That I'm not sure of.
It's got to be, I would think. I don't think you're doing a one-off with Ohio State playing Virginia and Nashville.
I wonder if it's just an easy way to get teams to play. I wonder if some teams don't want to go do true road games. So maybe
you watch Saturday night? How could you watch Monday night at Allen Fieldhouse? How could you watch Dean Dome Saturday? How could you watch even the games that were last night in college basketball and say that this sport is better when you put it in a sterile environment? That's the part I don't understand. I don't get that. Like, and what difference does it make from a television perspective if the game is on, if the game's in Nashville or if the game's in Columbus or Charlottesville?
Yeah, I can't.
I don't understand what I don't get it. I understand why Nashville, like visitnash.com or whatever, would pay you to come, and there's money. Okay, fine. I get it. All right. We're being derailed. I'm being derailed by just the notion of that we want to play neutral site games. It's just stupid. And you lose it. And I do think it feeds into something that has happened here over the last decade, and in regard to the lack of a home environment here. And there's a million factors that led to it, but the reality is that it was never a good arena. It just wasn't. And so they've tried to put lipstick on a pig many times over the last 20 years. It's too big. The place is too big. And so they try to make it intimate. They've done the lighting. They're trying. They do DJs. They do all these other things. The reality is if you go 27-5, it's as good as it can get. It's just the winning. And they haven't won enough here in the last decade, and that leads to it. And then you start factoring in the other things like tip times, and, you know, last year's schedule had a ton of, you know, late Monday night type games, those type of things that you're just not getting the attendance that you want. And so all of this leads to this spot where the program is, where there is a great deal of pressure and anxiety around it. And they need to get into the tournament, and they need to win these two games to be able to do so. Because when you look at the schedule, it's hard to find a scenario where there are wins out there. We are favored by 7.5 tonight. This is a must win, as big as it can get. And the one Saturday down in Nashville against Virginia is one that you got to have if you're going to have a top 25 win, something they don't currently have on their resume.
Bo, I'm looking at the whole slate on Saturday. I see no other game on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville.
What a weird.
Your lead-in on Fox is Purdue at Iowa. And then earlier in the day, I'm looking at on Fox is Villanova at Creighton. So like two great on-campus arenas.
Yeah.
On-campus games. And then you've got the sterile Bridgestone game.
So if there was going to be another game there, it would have to have been, no, there's probably not, because it's 8:00. It would have to be something. I mean, I would think it would be something in the ACC. No, it's 8:00. So it's just a standalone. That's a weird one. Very much is. In terms of tonight, is this the first must win of Jake's run at Ohio State? We're into year two. Is this the first must win?
Yeah. I had said
he's not going to be fired. That it's not like that, but like,
well, to make
he's got
the
Anthony
tournament.
Thompson coming in, like they're geared up for next year, and he shouldn't be. I mean, he's in year two. There's no hot seat, but just in terms of like, man, you better win this one tonight. I think this is the first kind of must win.
I had said Maryland last week just because of how bad the Terrapins were and what you had looming later in the week against Michigan. Because according to Joe Lunardi, they were last week one of the first four teams out. Now, 24 hours ago, they're one of the first four teams out. So nobody thought they were beating Michigan. But I do think, to your point, like you must beat USC. Then Virginia would help, but you must beat Wisconsin. And then win the games against teams with numbers not next to their name. And pray you can pull an upset in one of the ones with a number next to its name.
I don't think this is a true must win. Do they need? I think they need it, yeah. But I think they need it because I don't think what I'm about to say is going to happen with them. But they could beat, you know, if they knock off, if they lose this one, but then they beat Virginia, they beat a Michigan State, they beat an Iowa. You know, they get a couple wins through this tough stretch of February, they're going to be fine, and they'll get in the tournament. I don't think that's going to happen, though. So is this truly a must win? Probably not, because they have plenty of data points to pick up here, but
yeah,
it's pretty close.
Well, and USC is currently in the tournament, according to the various prognosticators, as a 10 seed. So that's among the last teams in. When you're a 10 seed, you are among the last teams to get in. And so that's just it. I guess this is the minimum thing that you can say about this. You've lost your margin for error. You're 15-8. You're 7-6 in the league. If your stated goal was to make the tournament, then you got to be able to win games like this to be able to do it. And you need to win two in a row, because what's coming down the pipe is one brutal spot after another. And it does become, and this is something that Chris Holtmann had to manage this and had to deal with it. The end of Thad Matta had to deal with it. But Thad had so much good in the bank from all of the tournament runs and the Final Fours and all of that, that I think maybe we all slept on all of it. But this program has been drifting in this spot. Folks, this is a decade. This has been a decade of this. I mean, D'Angelo Russell was here in 2015. It's 10 years ago. When, I mean, just sometimes people, oh, it wasn't that long ago. No. He was here from the 2014-15 season. That's when he was there. And they won the first round, then they lost to Arizona out in Portland. But that's how long it's been since there's been that. And so it's you've been driving into this. And Ross Bjork had some comments about where the basketball program is and what the expectations are. You will hear from that and see if they're even realistic anymore, as passion has certainly waned. You can get it back quick, but you need to win some games, and it starts tonight. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey, friends. Beamer.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
How many different ways can you consume morning juice?
Let's see.
Live on YouTube, live on the Fan's HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10TV Plus.
It will send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan.
Hey there, friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Buckeyes in USC tonight, 6:30. I cannot imagine 6:30 is what they're. That's a tough one just to get there, to get a full crowd and all of that. According to 11 Warriors in their summation of the basketball program as it stands right now, fewer than 11,000 fans in attendance to watch four of Ohio State's first six home games against Big Ten teams. 11,000 is 58% of the arena's 18.8 seat capacity. The Michigan matchup is the first time this year that more than 13,000 fans were in the seats at the shot. So that is quite a bit of erosion that has taken place over the last decade or so. Ross Bjork was on with the fellas at 11 Warriors. I assume that's where this is from, correct? But this is from the 11 Warriors conversation. Yeah. Here's Ross on his expectations for the basketball program.
Yes, we need to be in the tournament. You know, that's not just the minimum standard. We want to be in the tournament and then make a long run. I mean, that's what Ohio State has done before. There's no reason why we cannot do that. Look, we're disappointed, obviously, after yesterday. No one's happy with that outcome. I was in the locker room after the game, and our guys are mad. But we got 8 games left. We can't let that game beat us the rest of the season. In basketball, you gotta turn the page fast. We know we're better than what we performed on Sunday, and so my expectation is that we're in the tournament every year and we make a long run. You know, Jake understands that. He gets the expectation of the program, but I also know what is happening behind the scenes and how we're recruiting and how we're looking at the roster and roster construction. You know, we're putting more resources on the NIL front, and we're asking some people to step up in that front as well. So we've got to build that piece out and continue to evolve. But look, we got work to do.
I remember talking to Scooney about this years ago. I feel like we've been having this conversation, honestly, for about 10 years now. And I remember talking to Scooney about it years ago, and I said, what should it be? What should Ohio State basketball be? And he said, not Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Carolina, not blue blood, not Michigan State, not that, but it should be right below that. It should slide in right under that. And that's kind of the barrier to that. So why hasn't it been there? There's a billion reasons. I mean, you can go through misses in recruiting. You can talk about the venue. You can talk about all of these things. You can talk about, is it realistic to be really good at 36 sports? Probably not anymore. That you probably need to siphon that down a little bit and not have as many things that you're trying to be good at. But what Ross said there is really the simplest path forward. And it's really a conversation, unfortunately, because the way college athletics are built right now, the conversation is pretty straightforward. If you want Ohio State basketball to be on a level of the better teams in the Big Ten, which would be what Ross Bjork just described there, a team that makes the tournament every year and make long runs. Okay, well, that's Purdue. That's Illinois. Like, if you want to be that, then you better decide that you're going to spend probably 10x on the roster to be able to get to that point. Now, they're spending on this roster. They're paying a lot of those guys that are on this roster now. And you can argue if that's a good use of investment or not. But that would be where we're kind of at. Like, if you want to be Illinois in basketball, which is a tournament team all the time, a top four finisher in the Big Ten, every once in a while you look at them and they get the right player and they can make a run to the Final Four. If that's what you want to be, that takes a massive investment from you, the collective, to spend on NIL and spend on roster and all of those things. That is where we're at right now, is in that spot.
I keep thinking back to what you said yesterday about Phog Allen Fieldhouse being like a 11 to 12 point advantage for the home team. Sure. And I go back and just think of the like single possession losses Ohio State's had in the past 2 seasons, and maybe even longer than that. Be like, boy, if the shot could just be like a 2 or 3 point swing, mm-hmm, in favor of the home team, think about where this team would be. I mean, that's always kind of bugged me of just how, and as we've kind of gone further and further just down an apathetic rabbit hole with the Ohio State men's basketball program, is the arena just looks and sounds so bad. I mean, it was, mm-hmm, as bad as probably I've ever heard it Sunday with Let's Go Blue, mm-hmm, going around the thing. Like, yeah, that's a low point. But I just think the spending is comparative to a team that should make the NCAA tournament. It's just that who you're spending it on, the misses have just been so bad. And so the roster makeup, you can spend all the money in the world, but if those guys are stinkers or duds, then you've just kind of lit money on fire. And then will people want to continue paying for that if the, mm-hmm, the decision making doesn't get any better?
I know there's limitations with the shot, but when the product is good in there, you get a good environment. Now,
it's been a long time,
things,
though.
Were there things, yeah, you're right, with that where they put too much corporate dollar down close to the court rather than students and yada, yada? Yeah, and those are things that they've tried to work on and whatnot. But when it's good and when you put a good product on that court, I think that crowd and the advantage is good enough. I think that's just us looking for excuses. I think the fact of the matter is, and Ross mentioned it, they've got to put more resources into this. And by resources, we mean money. They've been putting all their money into the football team for the most part. And you heard him there saying, we're talking to some people to try to help with that.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get people outside of the program to help them because they don't want to take resources away from the football team, quite frankly.
Right,
because the football team being a top five team and competing for national championships every year is what they have chosen is more important. And I think most of the fans would agree with that. That's what's most important. I just think that's what it is. And you could say, well, wrestling is doing well. Well, men's tennis is doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's giving NIL to those programs for the most part around the country. You have men's basketball, you have football, and you have women's basketball. That's where most people in the country's money are going. And you're saying, well, look at the women's program. They're doing good. Well, I will argue that the women's program, when they play the upper echelons, a lot of times they're getting blown out too, but they're a team that's in the tournament every year, but they have chosen that the women's team is a team that they are giving money to because they have to give money to women's sports, and that's the one that it's going to. So I'm guessing why they're not giving what a Tennessee or UConn is, they're giving, comparatively to across the nation, a pretty good amount of money to the women's basketball team.
Yeah, I think that what Ross Bjork just described as expectations for the men's team is what McGuff is with the women's team. Tournament every year, make a run, Elite Eights, Sweet 16. Like, that's it. That's what you're trying. You're not trying to be Connecticut. You know, that's not it. You're not trying to be Kentucky. You're not trying to be Kansas. That's not who you are. But you should be able to be a consistent tournament team, and you should be a team that is not a stranger to the Sweet 16. And maybe it's not the apex of what Thad Matta had here, but it probably should be similar to, like, you know, the Evan Turner era, where you had a NBA dude and you had runs to Sweet 16s and you made runs in the Big Ten tournament. You're not entitled to Sullinger for 2 years or Connolly Oden, but every once in a while, you should have some of that.
They got eligibility left?
Yeah.
Find a judge in Columbus that would help?
They might, yeah. All right, second hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with a little higher or lower NFL-style Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
I wish I'd gotten treated.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And Zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Big opportunity tonight for the basketball Buckeyes. Ohio State hosts USC at 6:30. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 5:30. OSU lost to number 2 Michigan on Sunday and is one of Joe Lenardi's first 4 out of the NCAA tournament. Buckeyes will be without Brandon Knoll, who's been out since January with a foot injury. Jake Diebler says they hope to have Knoll back before the end of the season. Transfer forward Donovan Puff Johnson has missed the last 2 for Ohio State with a head injury. Johnson's a game-time decision for Wednesday. Buckeyes will head to Nashville on Saturday to take on number 14 Virginia. As for the OSU women's squad, the 8th-ranked Buckeyes are back at the shot on Sunday hosting Maryland. And in the NBA tonight, James Harden makes his Cleveland debut as the Cavaliers host the Washington Wizards at 7 p.m. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Still time to get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971-BFS in the YouTube chat as well. Time now for a little higher, lower. Hit it, guys.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
You've been asking for it.
Oh, baby.
You've been clamoring for it. You said, Reese, we need it.
We have
got to have post-Super Bowl NFL power rankings.
Let's go.
I didn't deliver these. But another Eric did. Eric Edholm of NFL.com. Ranked all 32 of them.
How about it?
It's a good job out of him. And we've talked a couple times since the end of Super Bowl 60 about our top three teams.
Yeah.
NFL.com says Seahawks, Rams, Patriots in that order. I will ask any qualms there, I guess, in the spirit of the segment, higher or lower for the Patriots at three.
Yeah. What I think really is cool about what Eric did here is that he went Seahawks, Rams, 1-2, because I think that is the appropriate 1-2. I don't think that as currently constructed, the Patriots are the third best team in football. I don't think that they are, but at the same time, I understand they played in the Super Bowl and you got to do it there. So, like I said yesterday, I would probably have all three NFC West teams, 1, 2, 3. I'd probably have the Niners there at three as the third, but I understand him putting New England there as well. So I think he's got the first two absolutely spot on. Seattle, Rams, the NFC Championship game was the Super Bowl, and then New England sliding in under it, I can live with.
So I like this. I think the first two are correct right now, and I think New England's good here because, and I know this is just based on the information we have right now, but they've got all their pieces in place here, so I think they're going to add to this roster.
Yeah,
and I think if they add to this roster and they add a playmaker or two to help Drake May out, I think that will definitely put him in here and maybe even rival them for number two with the Rams. So I think this is appropriate for New England.
All right, so you have Mike Vrabel's squad at three. At number four, the Denver Broncos. At number five, the Buffalo Bills. At six, the Houston Texans. Higher or lower for Houston at six?
I think it's too high for Buffalo as well, by the way. I think Buffalo should drop about eight spots. This is basically Josh Allen. Allen's the best player in football, and this is a lot of respect for him. But their roster, they've got real problems. This is a massive change in direction of the operation as they move off of Sean McDermott and move on to Joe Brady. And what does that look like? I think Buffalo has massive questions. And Allen's a Band-Aid for a lot of it, but I think this is way too high for Buffalo. I think it's too high for Houston, too. Houston's defense is as good as any, and they are absolutely legit. I have no problem with Denver sitting there at four. I think that's the sweet spot for them, and I would probably have Denver ahead of New England, provided they had Bo Nix. But I think both Buffalo and Houston need to fall back here, and some of these NFC teams need to matriculate higher up to the top of these rankings. I would move both Buffalo and Houston down.
Yeah, I honestly would move 4, 5, and 6 down, quite frankly. I think the Bears deserve to be in there with what we saw with them and their trajectory. The 49ers deserve to be up in there for sure, I believe. I think the Eagles, and I know the Eagles had some issues this year, but this is kind of what the Eagles do, right? They kind of go up and down a little bit. I expect the Eagles to be just fine. That roster is very talented still. So, yeah, I think 4, 5, and 6 all drop down a little bit.
NFL.com did their post-Super Bowl power rankings. We've gone through the first six. At number seven, the Chicago Bears. At number eight, the San Francisco 49ers. At number nine, Duval and the Jacksonville Jaguars. At 10, the Los Angeles Chargers. Higher or lower for LAC at 10?
I think this is kind of the sweet spot for them and Jacksonville. I think Houston is probably in this somewhere between 9 and 14 area. I'll be very curious. I mean, so this will be year three for Harbaugh with the Chargers, and they've been, you know, better every year, and now they can put some real assets into getting Herbert some weapons and protection and all of that. It might be a touch too high for LA, but I mean, Philly should be ahead of them, but they're in this range. I do think this is the correct range, top half of the league for LA.
I like the word you use there, Bo, with range, because I personally would probably have the Chargers down a spot or two, but this 10 to 12 area seems right about right for them, because they're definitely a playoff team. They're definitely a good upper third of the NFL team. So I'm not going to argue too much. If they're at 10, I may have them at about 12, but I think this is you said the word range.
Yeah.
At number 11, we got the Philadelphia Eagles. At number 12, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What?
higher or lower for Pittsburgh there. No faith in Mike McCarthy?
Why? Why is Pittsburgh 12?
The first sentence from Eric Edholm is great. The short-term news will focus on the potential reunion of Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. It might not be a terrible pairing for 2026.
Huh. It's way too high for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is not better than Green Bay. They're not better than Detroit. I don't think they're better than Baltimore, who he has on this list. I think Pittsburgh probably should be in the range somewhere between 15 and 20. I know that they said they don't want to rebuild. They need one. They need a build. I mean, it's been since 2016 since they've won a playoff game. And I think one thing that Pittsburgh fans are going to see, and if I'm wrong about this, you can save the audio and you can talk all about it next year. But I think Mike Tomlin maximized the talent on that roster. Maximized it. I think that this is not a talented team. I don't know how they won 10 games last year playing offensive football the way that they did. And I do think that they will come back down to earth in a big, big way this year. And I don't think they will have a winning record this year. I think they have a lot of issues on that roster. And it is a mess. And so I think it's way too high for Pittsburgh.
I don't believe it's way too high. I believe it's a little too high. You said 15 to 20. I think 20 is too low for them. I think 15 is right about the sweet spot, because when I think Pittsburgh Steelers for this upcoming year, and you mentioned it, Bo, there's a lot they need on this roster, but I believe Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I don't think the drop off from Tomlin to McCarthy is going to be that much, quite frankly, especially for next year. The familiarity between him and Aaron Rodgers, and I'm just assuming Aaron Rodgers is coming back and they will have him for another year, is there. So I think Pittsburgh's probably about 15. They're just smack dab right in the middle of the NFL, where they kind of have been for a while.
So you talk Green Bay Packers at 13, Detroit Lions 14, Baltimore 15, the Carolina Panthers at 16. Higher or lower for Carolina?
Great. Yeah.
Obviously that's higher, great. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, number two for Carolina. 8-10. They went 8-10. These punks. Cost me a cool G. Ridiculous. It's fine for Carolina. I think that the two... This is the thing that I think is interesting, and I think about Kansas City, who they have 19 on this list, and then Dallas at 20. They're a piece here or there to elevate. Like, I do think Dallas could elevate. They still have a ton of weapons, and now they're going to have a bunch of, you know, you got two first-round picks now for Dallas that you can put into things. I'm assuming they franchise tag Pickens, and they handle that. But that's a very interesting one. I think Baltimore and Buffalo are fascinating, because if you go back to July, we said all of the pressure is on those two operations. And now, as we sit here 6 months later, neither one is coached by the guy who coached them for damn near 20 years. And what does that look like when you move off of that type of leadership? What does that look like for those two spots? So I think those two teams are really fascinating. I think Carolina's about right. They should be somewhere between 16 and 20.
I think this is too high for Carolina. I think Carolina is a prime team for a little bit of a fallback next year. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bet NBC on it, but...
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
I think they take a tumble. You mentioned a couple of those teams. I think Detroit and Baltimore will both have bounce back years next year. So those are teams I think I would have quite a bit higher than what they are. And you mentioned Kansas City. I think Kansas City is back in the mix next year. They're going to get a really good player in the draft at 10, and Bieniemy's back with Andy Reid, and we know that combination has worked well over the years. So I think those three teams are going to bounce back, so I would have them all higher. But I think Carolina regresses some next year.
Can you imagine being Andy Reid and looking around the AFC and not seeing Tomlin, Harbaugh, or McDermott? And just be like, what just happened?
I can't imagine being me and seeing that, right. Let alone right. Andy Reid.
Right. Like, Andy Reid won the offseason by them missing the postseason and Mahomes having the first catastrophic injury of his career. He kind of wins the offseason. Where are our teams, Reese?
I was just about to say, at 25, the Cincinnati Bengals, and then at 31, the Cleveland Browns, one spot ahead of the New York Jets, who Eric Edholm has at 32.
Okay. If you have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, you can't be lower than 21.
Yes.
So if you want to say that the Cincinnati Bengals are the Dallas Cowboys, okay, fine. Well, he's got the Cowboys 20. So they still have those players, and they have to be somewhere in there. I would have Cincinnati just because I would have Cincinnati better than Tampa Bay, Indy, and probably Carolina going into the season just because they have Burrow. And if Burrow played all year, I'm sure they would have been in the mix for the postseason, just as they always are every time he plays. They have flaws, absolutely, but it is criminally too low for the idea that they're behind New Orleans and Miami. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous on that side of it. And where did he have Cleveland?
31.
Okay. So on their defense alone, they're better than Arizona. Just on that. Like, he's got Arizona 29. He's got the Giants 28. Tennessee 27. I mean, they're definitely in the bottom third. But the idea that they're the 31, there's only one team worse than them. That defense alone, you have the defensive player of the year and the defensive rookie of the year.
So Cincinnati, and this is all predicated on a healthy season of Joe Burrow, should be way higher. Their defense did improve with those younger guys as the season mm-hmm. went along. If they can continue that trajectory and you get a full season of Burrow, Cincinnati's way higher. I'm guessing he has the Titans at 27 because they think they have their quarterback in Cam Ward. But Cleveland, to me, obviously they're better than the Jets. They're better than the Raiders. They're better than the Cardinals. And they're better than the Titans. So they're not next to last.
No. This is, I'll tell you, 2 weeks, we'll be over at the Combine. It's going to be pretty fascinating to see what the conversation is, especially at the quarterback position around the league. We will get into some massive numbers from Super Bowl 60. Speaking of quarterbacks, Malik Willis could be the apple of a lot of teams' eye. We will get to that all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
After quite the warm day yesterday, a big change today with mostly cloudy skies and highs struggling to get just above the freezing mark and gusty winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy with overnight lows down into the 20s. And then for Thursday, expect skies to stay mostly cloudy with our highs right around or just above freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, friends, stop what you're doing. Put the mock draft down. Stop yelling at your radio for 5 seconds. This is important stuff right here. President's Day weekend. This weekend, February 14th through the 16th, it's the Heated Indoor RV Show at RCD RV. That's right. Heated. Indoor. You're not freezing. You're not slipping on ice. You're not fighting wind like it's a punt return up on the lake in Cleveland. Free admission, free parking, hundreds of RVs, thousands in savings this weekend only. This is the last chance RV show savings. All indoors. At RCD RV, which means you can shop in comfort while avoiding the muddy, melting snow that is just absurd, that has plagued us for the better part of 2 months. If you've ever thought, man, I should buy an RV, this is the weekend to do it. Go to rcdrv.com for details on that. Turns out a lot of folks watch the Super Bowl. Some breaking news. on that is that a lot of folks watched it. And as it turns out, it was the most watched, second most watched Super Bowl of all time, trailing only the Chiefs and Eagles last year, 127.7 across all platforms last year. This time the record was 125 million, peaking an all-time U.S. record, 137.8 million across NBC, Peacock, and Telemundo. The Athletic saying Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show reached 128.2. That was down 5.3 from Kendrick Lamar's performance in 2025, the most watched Super Bowl halftime show ever. But correct me if I'm wrong on this. This does not include Spanish language broadcast in terms of the Bad Bunny numbers. Those are not global numbers. That is just American English speaking numbers on the 128.2 on that. So my hunch is that he annihilates that. I did see that the NFL posted a clip of the halftime show that did 180 million views, which was the biggest clip an NFL has ever posted from their accounts. So there you go on that side of it. We like football, Reese, as it turns out.
Yeah, it's something that's just going to keep going up every single year. I mean, this is the biggest, I'll argue this is the biggest game on the planet. I know there's, you know, European football matches that draw similar, sometimes bigger numbers than this, but the spectacle of it all is going to continue to increase. And as much as we bemoan the idea that the NFL is just taking over everything, I mean, they've already stolen holidays. They're going to keep taking more. And so these numbers will continue to go up. And yeah, for everybody that, you know, doesn't like a certain creative decision about a halftime show, it doesn't, they're going to put a gigantic star on the platform and a bunch of people are going to watch that too. And it's also one of the, like, I think about the halftime show is I'm just going to stay on the channel. So it could have been anybody on that stage. I was going to be part of that audience because I want to see the Super Bowl halftime show.
And you, even with that controversy, people want to see it. People want to see controversy. There's a reason the NFL does things. They're masters in marketing, and they know how to get their eyeballs, people's eyeballs, on their product. So, you know, I can't believe people are watching the Super Bowl for halftime shows or not. But hey, that's, you know, a lot of people aren't football fans. They're tuning in for the spectacle of this and everything around it. I wonder how much these numbers will continue to go up with the streaming platforms, where you can see actual data and numbers and all of that kind of.
ESPN's doing the Super Bowl next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, with all of the services the ESPN has, like, will they go full college football playoff title game megacast?
Probably.
I mean, right? Wouldn't you want to have as many? And then I wonder, like, when they report the numbers, you factor in your ability to watch it on your phone, your ability to watch it on your tablet. And I don't know, I've never used Peacock outside of the TV app. Mm-hmm. And that's what I used for the Super Bowl, and it worked fine. But I wonder, like, would numbers add to it when you factor all of that in? I'm sure. But ESPN will do it at a grander scale because they've just got more infrastructure with that.
It's the biggest annual event on the planet. That's what the Super Bowl is. It's there every, you know, second Sunday in February. Next year it lines up because of the calendar on President's Day, so that it'll be even, you know, you're gonna have the ability to be off Monday for a great many of you. So it's just the biggest annual event on the planet, and it's been this way for a long, long time. The audience somehow either maintains or gets bigger, which is impossible in today's day and age. Everything is eroding viewership, with the exception of the National Football League. It just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's more accessible than ever. Like, I view a lot of things in terms of trying to project what things are going to be a big deal years from now. I do it, you know, a lot for how my kids watch things. And they live in the YouTube world primarily. And so they, like, know who this Drewski clown is, and they know Jesser and all of these people that are YouTube, and to them, there's no difference with them and the television shows that I watch. To them, like, those guys are just as Mr. Beast is just as legitimate as Tony Soprano. Like, there's no difference as far as they're concerned, as much as it pains me that that's the reality of it. But this breaks through. Football breaks through, and it's not just the NFL. It's the college football playoff. You look at the numbers that were delivered on that, even as they screw up all of it, they still rate I mean, they don't do it right at all. They make it as difficult as possible for you to watch the college football championship game and the playoff and everything that goes with it. But those numbers are still big. Everything else is receding. These numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Reese, to your point on what Disney will do next year with the Super Bowl, you got to give them a lot of credit. They started doing this about 10 years ago, thereabouts. They started to say, I'm not concerned that ABC has the biggest numbers. We're looking for a collective number. We want all of it. So, yeah, you can watch a traditional broadcast of the Super Bowl on ABC. Do I think Disney will do a Manningcast Super Bowl? Maybe. They might. Do I think that they will do a Command Center Super Bowl? Yeah, they might. Do I think there will be something on Disney Plus and Hulu and everything else? Yeah, I'm sure that they will. And when they feed you the numbers on that, you're going to be fed the cumulative number. And I saw this from Richard Deitch, who covers sports media this morning, that the true numbers on this Super Bowl won't be until probably Monday of next week, because that's when you'll get the international numbers. And that's where you'll really feel the full flex of the halftime show will be in the international numbers. Why do you think the NFL is committing every team in its league to play one game overseas? It's the last place for growth, man. We've maxed out America.
They've cornered the market here.
Yeah, we're in. Like, there is no more people here who have not discovered the NFL, who don't love the NFL. So now all of a sudden you're going to have a steady diet of games at Real Madrid, in Paris, in Munich, in South America, Mexico, Australia. I mean, they're playing in Brisbane in a couple of years, Melbourne this year, Sydney, like global is what they're doing. And instead of viewing it from the prism of, oh, we got to put a team in London, they're saying every team in this league is going to play one game overseas. And we are going to grow this brand in that way. And that's what Bad Bunny's about. That's whoever does halftime next year on the ABC version of it. Like, my hunch is they'll ask Taylor Swift first. She's the first call, right? And then
probably
from there,
every year.
I'm sure she's the first call every year. I mean, is it fair to say that Bad Bunny is one of the few who could go toe-to-toe with her in terms of global?
Yes.
I think so, right? It's like those two are the two biggest stars on the planet. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for global domination. Global. And they're getting it. They're getting people watching it that don't even have the sport. Their kids don't play the sport. And they just keep rolling in. And there's no end in sight. There's no end in sight in terms of that. Coming up in 2 minutes, we will get into some of those comments. I was talking about the Malik Willis sweepstakes, which could be one of the big stories of the combine in a couple of weeks. And Christopher Mad Dog Russo, my guy, God bless him. What a rant. We'll share it with you coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Different fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
NFL Scouting Combine begins a week from Monday over in Indianapolis. We will be over there for that. And one of the things that my hunch is will be top of mind will be Malik Willis. And reporting from various NFL insiders this morning, a lot of people kind of prognosticating him to either Miami or Cleveland. I think the Cleveland part of that is going to be a little complicated just in terms of the finances. And it looks like the contract for him... Some of the reporting on this suggests the contract for him would be 2 years, 40, which is what Justin Fields got from the Jets. I have a feeling it's going to be, if I had to bet, I would think it would be more similar to Darnold's deal, which was, I think, 300. I think it'll be more closely aligned with that. I think you've seen enough of him filling in Green Bay the last couple of years for Jordan Love to leave you to believe, okay, that this is probably more like the 3-100 that Darnold got. He's not as proven as Darnold. Darnold had that great year in Minnesota. He doesn't have that. But this just screams Miami to me. I think I like him a lot. I really like how he played when he's been given opportunity in Green Bay. But I just think financially, it's going to be very difficult for Cleveland to find a way to bring in someone with that type of paycheck next to his name.
Yeah, and that does come with the Deshaun Watson contract caveat, which I wonder if there's a similar caveat with Miami. And they've still got Tua Tagovailoa on their books. Would this be they find somebody to take that? Because I know there's talk with Arizona trying to deal Kyler, and then there's Miami trying to deal Tua.
Yeah. My hunch is on all the reading I've done on Miami suggests that that they will pay you to take Tua.
Oh.
Like they'll make some of it go away. Now there's cap stuff, you have cap gymnastics you have to do. The Kyler one in Arizona is going to be fascinating too. So I think that part's going to be interesting. And then you know, the other part of this is if you're Cleveland, what does Todd Monken want in a quarterback? If you listen to his introductory press conference or you listen to the one-on-one that Nathan Zagura did with him, one thing that seems to be pretty consistent is that he wants a mobile quarterback. He wants a guy, when it all breaks down, can go score, and actually cited, you know, mobility of quarterback with red zone success, that there are some parallels there. Of course, there would be. So I think that's something to watch for, too, in terms of how they attempt to approach the quarterback position up in Cleveland.
So I think it's interesting with the Dolphins too in that regards, because the Dolphins are well over the salary cap right now. Now, are they going to get rid of Tyreek Hill? How can they do the cap gymnastics with Tua? I have long wondered, and I don't know if either of them would want to do this, if Miami and Arizona might just flip-flop the quarterbacks. Trade them for each other, both give them a fresh new start. Yeah. Maybe that would work for both of them. I feel like Tua would be a better fit with Marv, that's for sure, in Arizona. So I've wondered that. I don't even want to, as a Browns fan, I don't want to even think of the Malik Willis thing, because I feel like Malik Willis in his few starts with Green Bay this year showed a lot with his arm talent. And there's probably still some warts there. But Malik Willis would make me excited a little bit as a Browns fan about the quarterback position.
Yeah.
More excited than I am with what there is there right now, obviously. And I know that's not saying much, but I think Malik Willis showed an awful lot in his few games with Green Bay this year.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's decisions are going to be pretty fascinating, because there is, you know, Deshaun Watson is still there. And so, like, he's still under contract. He's still there. If you're Todd Monken, and I mean, you have a memory. You remember, now it's been a long time. It's been an awful long time since he's played at that level. And you've seen 19 starts of Deshaun Watson, injury riddled, and all of that. But if you're Todd Monken, do you say there's a piece of clay here that if it can get healthy, I can work with that piece of clay? Most coaches have that type of arrogance, but, so there's that part of it. There's the Shadur part of it. And you saw the comments from Dion about be all in, know your playbook, all of the things, be as locked into it as possible. New coach. Let's see what happens with it. And then Dylan Gabriel's there too. And Gabriel was somebody that Stefanski loved in the process. And so where's his spot in all of this? And then what do you do with Willis on top of it? To me, Willis just screams Miami. Halfley was there. He saw it firsthand, and he'll be able to do it. To your point on the cap, you can kick the can down the road, but eventually you have to pay. And the Cleveland Browns right now are in the have to pay part of kicking the can down the road. They restructured a lot of deals to make all this work. It didn't work out in terms of the results. So there's dead money for them with not only Deshaun Watson, but Joel Bitonio, David Njoku, Juan Thornhill. I mean, the Browns have a lot of dead money that they have to eventually pay for, and the time to pay for it is now. So I don't think that they're going to be very nimble in an ability to pull this off. Now, Andrew Berry's done this type of stuff before, and you go, wow, how did he do it? With the help of the Haslams and bonuses and all of that stuff. But to me, these waters are going to be pretty rich. To me, if like Kyler screams Jets, to me, that's what that screams that.
Oh,
like him landing there.
Oh, boy.
That place is a mess.
Sheesh.
But who else? I mean, if you sign Kyler, you're signing up for. And by the way, Monken might like to work with somebody like Kyler. I mean, he obviously he really enjoyed working with Lamar. And so, you know, but so that seems that it feels like Tua has to be in a dome. And then the Malik Willis part of it is kind of the one that's hovering over it is what does all of this look like? But, you know, again, we're going to get to the combine in 10 days and you'll have a better feel for kind of what the quarterback market is and who's available and who's not. By the way, Geno Smith will probably be available. I mean, that's another one.
You might want to write him off.
Sure. You might want to write all these guys off, honestly. But at the same time, like, there will be a little bit of quarterback musical chairs that is going to happen here over the next month or so. And it's in the conversations are going to pick up at the combine race.
And then everything to what we just talked about of those quarterbacks. And then what Kyle Shanahan had said about Mac Jones at the end of their season.
Great.
Makes him even happier and makes the Niners even happier with, well, if that's what's out there, people are going to be extra desperate and you would likely get a lot of good conversation if you're San Francisco about Jones.
There's no question. That's why to me, that was easily
he's the top
not
of the
thing.
List.
He might be like him and Willis might be the two guys that most people want. And if you are, you know, if you are a Stefanski LaFleur, like if you're Arizona, not to suggest that San Francisco would trade him there, but that's exactly what LaFleur would want in Arizona is Mac Jones. Like that's what I'm going to run wide zone. You're going to have to flip your head and throw it to a spot accurately. That's Mac Jones. That's what he did in San Francisco. And so that's what Darnold did in Seattle. Okay, we had this. This was amazing. A friend of mine shared this with me. So I think this was yesterday on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, the legend, all-time legend, had some comments on load management in the NBA.
November before Thanksgiving in 2017, and I walked in there in the off-season and did an hour show with the freaking high heat. Sick as a freaking dog. And then walked in here and did a monologue. And I said, I can't take it. I'm so sick, I gotta leave. And I took the train home. And 3 days later, I was in the freaking Stanford Hospital. And the doctor said, how the hell did you survive this? And then I sat there on a Tuesday night. He sat there and operated on me for 3 hours to get an appendix out. A ruptured one. Chris Boots out. And Jaren Jackson can't play in the fourth quarter in a game in February making $50 million a year. I mean, this is absurd.
It's absurd. He's right.
That is part of a probably 2.5 minute rant that at one point he says, because of course Bruce Springsteen's playing in the background a part of this rant, and at one point he goes, hit it, Bruce. Like he's in mid-rant. He goes, hit it, Bruce. He's the best. He's the best. I love that he's referencing something from 2016. There must have been. Wasn't that the name of the show he did on MLB TV? High Heat.
High Heat was the Major League Baseball Network show he did. And I wonder, you know, with these guys, they can do this every year, right? Like they can rant about the load management because it just becomes more problematic.
Yes.
So for him, it's that old bit that he can recycle. Because when I saw this. I just Googled Chris. I put into Twitter, Mad Dog Russo load management, and he's got several.
Yes.
Where he just goes off on the thing. And I'm like, well,
so good.
It helps you out there, buddy.
Not everybody's listening every day.
It's true.
I saw Stephen A. had some comments this morning about the Lakers. The Lakers are sitting their whole starting lineup.
Why?
Load management, I guess.
That's going to the All-Star break. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know Luka's been hurt. Luka's dealing with a hamstring, so he's obviously not playing because of that. But it is, and I guess a sports team has to do whatever they feel is best for them to win a championship. That's their main goal. But, man, I feel like you do have some obligation to the fans.
You sure
they're
as heck
coming
do.
To see. They're paying good money to come see these players. Like, they need to be out there. You're getting paid to do this.
I guess Bill Simmons went in on it on his podcast today, like really went in on the issue. And when he's doing it, then you know you've got a real issue on your hands because few people love the NBA the way that he does. But if you're saying you're doing everything to win a champ, the Lakers are not winning a championship with this roster. So show up and play if you're healthy. That's the job, is to entertain the people who are paying the money to go to it, not for the possibility of winning a 7-game second round series. That's not it. We'll hit thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Bruce Thornton, 5 points away from becoming the number 5 all-time scorer, passing Kelvin Ranzi. Just hearing that is kind of a monumental thing.
Yeah, when you look at the list and the players on the list of the top 10 scoring in our program, there's some names that have just left a major impact throughout the history of Ohio State basketball. And, you know, Bruce certainly is a talented player who's put a lot of time and effort into being a good player for Ohio State. It's an honor to be included on that list, and you're reminded of just how good he is as he passes some of these names. But, you know, we got some work to do here left this season as a team, and I know that's where his focus is.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State athletics.
Jake, we've been able to see Christoph Tilley in the last few games start to find some success shooting the ball outside the three-point line. Is that something that can help open up other offensive options?
For sure. For sure. His ability to stretch the floor, which we felt like was going to be a real strength this year, wasn't quite the case for a majority of the season, but we're starting to see some consistency there. So I like his shot selection from three. And, you know, I think if he can continue to knock down one or two a game, it makes a big difference for us.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on any new 26 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie.
And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, still time to get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971-BFS. You can do so in the YouTube chat as well. We will tackle those in about 12 minutes. Time now for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
James Harden is set to make his Cleveland debut tonight for the Cavaliers, and they take on the Washington Wizards. The folks at Rocket Arena are doing a special Beard on a Stick giveaway for Wednesday's contest that starts at 7. James Harden's home debut and a beard giveaway, so fans there are going to be able to wear beards just like the beard. Thing or not a thing.
Fun. They do a good job. They do a good job with the one-off uniforms. They do a good job with their in-arena. They do a good job when LeBron comes back. The folks that are running the Cavaliers do a very good job of their... I mean, very similar to the Blue Jackets. Like, they just really... They know their constituency. They deliver a very entertaining product, whether you like what's going on the ice or hardwood or not. Everything else hits, and I think this hits. And I'm excited for this for kids. I mean... you know, James Harden's going to be playing a game for the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight and suiting up for the home team. That's a pretty cool thing for a lot of kids out there. So it's a cool thing.
This is a cool thing, and maybe it's given me an idea on whoever wins this beard challenge.
What do you got?
Blue Jackets, radio show, beard night. Have okay. Beards on a stick from us, the beards that win.
Oh, my God. Beards on a stick. Like, how committed am I to a long beard? I basically had it pretty tight for...
I don't think you have to have a long one. You can just have what you have. I think it's just fine. Nothing wrong with a nice, tight beard.
I wonder if at some point in my life if I'll ever go Letterman and just have a long beard for, like, years. My hunch is no. But I do wonder if I have that in me.
I think I told you this before, Bo, but when COVID happened, I decided... to let my beard grow. And then the Blue Jackets started, the season started back up, and they did the bubble playoffs in August. So okay. I let mine grow, and it was already decently mm-hmm. in, but from when COVID and everything shut down to probably the third week of August, towards the end there when the Blue Jackets lost, I had let mine grow, and I probably had, I don't know, maybe 3 inches, 4 inches below the chin.
Okay.
And that's a lot. Like, that's if you're going to have beard, your yeah. beard that much, like, there's some upkeep. You've got to do some things, and I'm just not that committed. But, I mean, I could keep mine right here. I could let it grow a little more if we needed to for this.
I did the same thing during the pandemic. I had mine. It was thick. It wasn't long. And you just keep it nice and tight. Like, you almost yeah. taking a blade. Like, when I get my hair cut, they'd have the blade that would really line it up right at the Adam's apple. Go.
Yeah,
that I think looks better than just a long scraggly one. Because yeah, the David Letterman thing, like, he came out of nowhere and all of a sudden he was Santa Claus.
And he's been that way for a long time.
Get my guy from Beards Dignified to hook us up with some product, make us look real nice.
You gotta moisturize. You have to moisturize when it gets long.
Charlie Woods, the son of Tiger Woods, has verbally committed to play college golf at Florida State. He's going to be a member of their 2027 recruiting class. He is currently a junior at the Benjamin School in Palm Beach. He is 21st in the Rolex American Junior Golf Association rankings. He won the Team TaylorMade Invitational with a 54-hole total of 15 under to 201 he shot last May. Trey Jones coaches the Seminoles in golf. He's about to begin his 23rd season in Tallahassee. He's also got a commitment from Miles Russell of Jacksonville Beach, who's number one in the Rolex AJGA rankings. Florida State was runner-up in the 2024 National Championships with Luke Clanton. He was a finalist for the best player in Division I and the best overall college golf player, which is the Jack Nicklaus Award. Jones also coached 5-time major champion Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger, who's a member of the PGA Tour. Thing or not a thing?
So when I was down there, Florida State golf wasn't much. Trey Jones was the coach then when I was down there. I remember him vaguely. But there was a guy that maybe you've heard of, a guy named Jack Nicklaus. And what Jack Nicklaus did is he redid their golf operation. Course, facility, all of it. One of his kids played football, or one of his grandkids played football there. And then there was, I want to say, maybe a golfer as well. And so that elevated all of it. I would just tell you that what Charlie Woods has signed up for in Tallahassee, Florida, as a 18 and 19 year old, he's going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time.
I feel like we need to play the promo about your Florida State Twins again.
He's going to be a good time.
He's going to have fun, but I don't think this is a thing because I think Charlie Woods is just fine wherever he played golf, his college golf. He's going to do well in the NIL sphere, and I think he's already proven at a young age that maybe he's got what it takes to be a tour player, and he's probably got the greatest coach he could ever want in his father, who not only had the genetics, so he's passed that down, but he's also had the work ethic.
Yeah.
And that might be the biggest thing for young Charlie Woods.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, by the way, can you imagine the admission process at the Benjamin School in Palm Beach? Like, you take little Timmy, the four-year-old, in. We're applying at the Benjamin School. Oh, really? Okay, here's minimum requirements. Are you worth eight figures? No? Okay, then go to another school.
You have to write a check just to get an interview.
To get the interview.
Of course.
Before you even step foot on
campus. It's the Benjamin School, Reese.
Absolutely.
You have to know
the Benjamin School's messing around?
I sure don't. I guess tuition at the lower school is $26,000. At the middle school is $32,000. At the upper school is $38,000. I'm guessing that's just for tuition.
Of course. And that isn't even like, how do you get in the door? The get in the door is the big check.
The Benjamin Buccaneers.
Great. It's great.
I got 1,200 students.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, kids. All right. Charlie Woods. We'll see how it all goes. We'll get into your third hour of the program. We'll kick it off with a little bit of, hey, guys, still time to get your questions into the fellas. You can do so in the YouTube chat. You can also do so at 971BFS. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends are here on the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Men, it's the new year.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Winter Olympics continue today in Milan Cortina. Team USA is third in overall medal count with 10. Norway leads with 11, or 13. Italy has 11. The Norwegians also lead in gold with 7. The U.S. has 3. Team USA picked up gold and silver this morning in women's freestyle skiing. Team USA women's hockey finished group play 4-0 yesterday with a 5-0 shutout of Canada. They'll play Italy Friday at 3:10 in the quarterfinals. Zach Werenski and the U.S. men's team open group play tomorrow at 3:10 against Elvis Merzlikins in Latvia. In college hoops, Ohio State hosts USC tonight at 6:30. Hear that game on the Fan with coverage at 5:30. Forward Donovan Puff Johnson's a game time decision. He's missed the last two with a head injury. Buckeyes play Virginia Saturday night in Nashville. And in the NBA, James Harden will make his Cavs debut tonight in Cleveland as they host the Washington Wizards at 7 p.m. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.com.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Our buddy Chris Venditti, College Football at the Athletic, going to join us in 30 minutes from now. Between now and then, time for a little hey, guys. Hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag hey, guys, and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
All right, we'll start on Twitter. Chris asks, hey, guys, there is a current controversy with 6 to 8 year old basketball rec team. They are all older kids, 8. They choose their coach. They've been together multiple years, practice outside of rec league time, and they dominate, winning by 50 points or more. Then he asks, should this be allowed in rec sport league?
No. No. What you just described is a travel basketball team. and they should be playing in travel basketball tournaments. They should not be playing in rec. And if they are trying to, and without the full context of all of this, like I'd be interested to hear the other side of it. But no, you rec basketball is for fun. That's why it's there. And it should be there at, in every youth organization should have it, and it should be for fun, and everyone should have to adhere to the exact same amount of practices, and this team should be divided evenly, and it should be about fun and competing, and of course you should try to win, because anything in sports you should try to win, but to go above and beyond the practices that are allowed in rec, that's not right. That's travel basketball. So if you want to beat people by 50, then take your rec team, register them for travel basketball tryout, travel basketball tournaments, which are going on right now. There's one every single weekend. There's hundreds every single weekend. Put them in one of those and see how they do against teams that practice in a similar vein that they do. No, this isn't right. Rec teams should play rec teams, and this doesn't sound like a rec team to me.
Yeah, again, Bo, not knowing the other side of it, it sure seems like this is... any rec league that I've known of or been around, like the parents coaching it get their kids and then they like have a draft and they pick, mm-hmm. or
yeah.
there's somebody at the Parks and Rec or whatever that splits the kids up however they come in. They just say, mm-hmm. you're on this team, you're on this team, you're on this team, you're on this team. So yeah, that doesn't seem like a true rec league team.
No.
We'll stay on Twitter real quick. I just saw this one from Dustin, and it's references about a year ago, he had asked, turning his girlfriend's birthday, Valentine's, and being in the city, in the capital city of Columbus, into one great night. He said, Bo, you had told him to reverse engineer the thing to make it seem like it was her idea, and it worked.
How about it?
He says he's back in Columbus this Saturday and asks for dinner spots you would recommend.
Oh, geez. I mean, buddy, we're 3 days out. I mean, you're not going to get a good... You're not going to get a good table at this point at any place of any repute, I don't imagine. Probably the best you can hope for with this late of notice, if you don't have your reservations locked in, is, and I love this, I don't know that my wife would love it for Valentine's Day. Like, I helped you with the reverse engineering of the birthday, you know, Valentine's Day all-in-one thing. I don't know if I could sell this to my wife, but the best you can probably hope for is, like, sitting at the bar at a great restaurant with your wife, which, or girlfriend, which I like a lot, my wife likes a lot. I don't know that, I think she would see right through it on Valentine's Day. I think she would be like, oh, you forgot to make a reservation, dummy. So she would see right through that. I don't think there's any way I can get you a get out of jail free card there. But there are a great many of restaurants in the area that are spectacular and romantic, and probably if I'm you at this point, I'm trying to think what I would do in that scenario. I would probably try to come up with some sort of way out of it, and then a make good would happen the next week is probably what I would do, because I don't think, I mean, there are cancellations, so I guess you could kind of like go to all the cool, you know, ones that take those reservations and hope that there's a cancellation for two, but you're really rolling the dice here at this point, pal. I don't know if I can dig you out of this one.
But honey, look at this nice thing I got you from the diamond cellar.
That helps.
That'll make up for
you'd
it,
have to.
Right?
You'd have to make up for it with the gift.
That helps. Go see my guys.
Yeah, at this point, it's going to be tough to get a reservation, but just Google best steakhouses, best Italian restaurants, best restaurants, yeah. period, in Columbus, and start calling them all and seeing what you best. Got.
So the girlfriend and I do this on occasion. Is Moretti's in Arlington, the Tremont Center. They open at 4:30 on Saturdays.
There you go.
And they don't take reservations at the bar. So we're always right there like 4:20, 4:25.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of peering in to see if anybody will let us in.
Yeah.
That's your best, to your point, that's your best case scenario. And it's a wonderful. Yeah, you're tapping on the window.
Hey, guys, I'm here. Yeah.
Great wine selection, really good food.
Yeah, remember your buddy Reese?
But I'd have to say, you blew it with waiting till Wednesday.
Yeah, there's not...
If you hope for a reservation somewhere.
There's not many options now.
Baker, have the button ready. This comes to us from the YouTube chat. Chimney Check was burner.
Chimney Chiqua.
Hey guys, I've been loving the curling in the Olympics. What events would you want to be more of a mainstay in the sports world rather than just once every 4 years?
So the first thing that jumps out to me would be the skiing. And it's funny because when I watch the skiing, I find it incredibly satisfying. I find it, in a way, soothing, even though it appears to be about as violent as anything can be with what you're asking the human body to do. But it's also something that I completely lose track of other than once every 4 years. And I know that they continue to do it. It's all in Europe, the World Cup, all of that stuff. It's all in Europe, the Grand Prix, whatever they call them. I think that would be something I would like to watch more of. I wish there was, and I know that they've tried it. It obviously just doesn't connect unless it's in the Olympics. But that's one that I wish that we saw a little bit more. I even think we see, like, the X Games Winter Olympic sports far more. Like, you see those. You see the half pipe with the snowboard and the skis and the ski jumping and all of that stuff you see. But we just don't see, like, a traditional downhill. I watch it once. Once on the men's side, once on the women's side. I watch it once every 4 years, and that's it. And it's awesome. So I guess that would be my answer. I wish that we saw more of it.
Give me the luge or the bobsled, because I think that's just could be complete chaos. And also, I happened to just tune into a little bit of the speed skating last night and just saw one of the most crazy wipeout crashes I've ever seen. I don't know how somebody didn't get cut on their face or their arm or something like that. It was crazy. So maybe speed skating, but give me the luge or the bobsled. That is entertaining.
Yeah.
I think it was a Norwegian I saw doing cross-country skiing, and he was going uphill at like a 5-minute mile pace. Everybody's got the video. It's on social media. I'll try to find it and post it at 971BFS. But that's a lot of fun to watch. And I don't know if there is a sport, because I think the appeal of this is you've got the country on the front of the jersey, and that's what brings the people together. I saw this on YouTube just a minute ago. Ronnie, hey guys, with my birthday on Saturday, do I get a pass on giving my wife a gift?
No.
Nope.
Ronnie.
No, Ronnie, you don't. No, you're cooked. Yeah, go see my guys at Diamond Solar. They'll take care of you. Yeah, no, you don't get a pass. I don't do Sweetest Day.
What's
my wife tried dropping that on me years ago. Oh, well, what about sweet? No, we're not doing
Sweetest Buckeyes Day. Play that day. Sorry, honey.
I'm not doing Sweetest Day. You can have your Valentine's Day, and we'll make a big deal about that with Mother's Day and birthdays and all of it. But I'm not doing. I'm out on Sweetest Day. That's the end of that. Have either of you, by the way, going back to that guy who was cross country skiing uphill? Have you either of you ever cross country skied?
Yes,
I have
so
not.
It's so hard.
It is the most grueling, lung-burning endeavor you could ever attempt to do. I just can't even imagine, like, the heart rate, all of it. It just, I'm going to be very candid with you. It sucks. It really sucks. It's very hard, and it's, you can't really get anywhere that you want to get to. I have so much respect for the people that do it. It is a total pain in the neck. And when I saw that guy cross-country skiing uphill at a 5-minute mile pace, I just thought to myself, nope, there's no scenario where I could get those skis to go uphill and have any sort of momentum, because every single time you make a movement, you're going to slip back. So the idea that he was creating that much force to be able to go uphill while cross-country skiing defies any sort of logic that there is in the world.
A sub-6-minute mile. Yeah, I can't pronounce his name, but he's from Norway.
Of course he is.
So that's up at Bishop and Friends, 971 BFS right now. This from Bud and Hilliard on Twitter. Hey, guys, I heard Bo and Baker mention the Barrett-Jackson auto auction earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Were you aware they are coming to Columbus for the first time this summer, June 25th through the 27th? He says he hopes to see you there.
Well, I mean, that would be something I would love to do.
I
like looking at cars.
I actually did know that. It's been a couple years in the works, I believe, since they had announced that they were going to do that. It'd be pretty cool. It's going to be at the State Fair and Expo Center. So right downtown Columbus there. It'd be a lot of fun.
What would be your Barrett Jackson all green lights buy?
So I am not the biggest car guy ever. Okay. But I would say probably some kind of 1960s Mustang. One of the first couple years there, 66, 67, something like that.
Reese, you got one?
I've never honestly, like, I've heard of the auto auction that you're talking about. I think it's on like at 11 o'clock in the morning, like NBC
they
Sports.
Stream it on one
used
of the
to show it all the time. Yeah. I mean, an old school, like a 90s Cadillac or an 80s Cadillac would be kind of fun if they weren't boats and didn't guzzle gas. But that's where my brain goes with those, because the cars look gorgeous, but the upkeep, the insurance on it, I'm like, nah, no thanks. We're going to go back to the YouTube chat real quick, because we do have enough to bring this show into the next segment. But Rand asks, hey guys, you're arrested for murder. Which TV lawyer do you want to defend you?
In the caveman lawyer from SNL. This is it. The 1977 Pontiac Firebird Bandit Edition.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep. I mean, who would ever not have fun driving around in the Bandit Trans Am? I could also do the Ferrari from Magnum PI would be one that would be hard for me to say no to. Yeah. You guys missed it. Well, Bake would have, but Reese missed out on that. In the 80s, you really didn't need to have an idea for a show. All you needed was a car. If you had a car, you could talk yourself into anything. I mean, the Dukes of Hazzards, they literally were running moonshine, which I didn't even know if you needed to do, because it's not like liquor was illegal in the 1970s in Georgia. But they were doing it. They were cousins. Nobody asked questions. And they just had a cool car and they drove around. Smokey and the Bandit just drove a fast car for four. Why? Because somebody wanted 40 cases of Coors and they were thirsty, dummy. But there's more of these. Fall Guy with the pickup truck.
That's what I was just going to say.
Which is insane. Like, wait, what's the premise? Oh, he's a bail bondsman who's also a stuntman, and he drives a pickup. Done. Green light it.
Don't forget Kit.
Kit was unbelievable. Michael Knight. That's another one that if it showed up on Barrett Jackson. There was another one I remember very vividly called Hardcastle and McCormick, where a guy screwed up. The judge ruled that rather than sending him to jail, he would make him work for him and solve crimes and drive a hot rod. That's a show.
So back in 2007, they sold a 1966 Shelby Cobra 427 Super Snake for $5.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those don't even really exist. Like the Shelby Cobras, there's a lot of kits that were done of them, but like those original ones, that would make sense that would be a $5 million car.
One year we went to SEMA and then we went over and toured the Shelby factory. That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari is awesome. That is a really, really great movie. We'll continue with the Hey Guys coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971TheFan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. After quite the warm day yesterday, a big change today with mostly cloudy skies and highs struggling to get just above the freezing mark and gusty winds. For tonight, mostly cloudy with overnight lows down into the 20s. And then for Thursday, expect skies to stay mostly cloudy with our highs right around or just above freezing. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air.
But we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Chris Fidini of the Athletic will join us in about 11 minutes from now. Time to continue the Hey Guys fun. Hit it, Reese.
So this, before we broke, read it, and I'll give it to you guys again. Rand asks, hey guys, you're arrested for murder. Which TV lawyer do you want to defend you?
Okay. TV lawyer. So initially, my first guess as I was looking for the Smokey and the Bandit model was the Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live played a caveman lawyer that was incredible. I'm just a simple caveman. I don't understand your wild ways. I mean, that was kind of the whole premise of it, and that crushed. Who is the best TV lawyer?
I mean, this is easy to me. I don't even think it's close. Harvey Specter.
Oh,
give me Harvey Specter. I'm winning my case.
Yeah.
And then if we're going movies, give me Jake Berganza from A Time to Kill.
That, I mean, they quite literally have witnessed to the murder and he got him off. I mean, the murder happened in front of everybody. It's a hell of a closing statement. Mitchell McDear would be pretty good. Somehow he got himself and his brother out of everything with the Rialto brothers and the firm. That was pretty effective form of leadership. Daniel Caffey as well in A Few Good Men was very, very good at I mean, his clients were dead to rights and somehow he got them off. So those would be pretty good ones.
It's also tough not to go Perry Mason.
You know, I've never seen
that was old an school
episode of it.
So they did a remake on HBO that was really good.
Did they?
Yeah.
With the guy from the Americans.
Matthew Reese is Perry Mason in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in that. I think the old school guys never lost. Like did Matlock ever lose?
Oh, Matlock.
I mean, never lost, right? I mean, you just win every case.
I wouldn't win, but Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons, and then he'd call Dr. Nick as the specialist.
Yeah.
Be entertaining, at least. I saw some ones in the YouTube chat. Saul Goodman made an appearance.
You know that I never watched Better Call Saul.
That's a surprise, but I don't know if it's really good.
I just, after Breaking Bad, I needed a break from that world. And admittedly, I'm not as big on prequels as sequels. I have a hard time when I know how it ends. And it is a prequel, right? Better Call Saul is a prequel.
Yes.
But everybody says it's incredible. It's great. I just never saw it.
What was the name of the lawyer? Wasn't the show The Practice? It was an ABC show.
Well, there was a time, and this would have been, I mean, this is the height of, like, David E. Kelly was the producer of a lot of those shows. It was at the height of
like
the
William Shatner in a show called like Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Which spun into Boston Legal.
Yeah. And so a lot of it came from like the Grisham world. Like everyone was looking for a Grisham lawyer hero. And there was, that was like the mid 90s. That's what it all was every greenlit lawyer show. Away you go.
Cardinal.
A lot of it came from Grisham.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cardinal asks in the YouTube chat, hey guys, spring training is starting. If you could have a walk-up song like baseball players, what would it be? He says his would be Dirty Deeds by AC/DC.
That's a good one. I will say this, for all of my disinterest in baseball now, there is something pretty great about spring training. About, especially when you are in a northern climate and like, hey, we're taking the baseball team and we're going to go someplace really warm and the sun shines every day. And you'd get those reports from spring training in the old days with the newspaper, or you'd get them on television and you'd go down there and cover it. And they're having covered spring training before. It's pretty great. It's pretty cool. And it's a hell of a, it's an incredible thing for kids because of the proximity that you get to your heroes. They're sometimes untouchable in big league world, but in spring training, you get a lot of interaction. Like, you can get all the autographs you want. You can get right up and close and personal, and the games don't matter as much, but God, it's sunny. It's pretty great. I do think spring training's pretty great. I mean, I'm in a Smokey and the Bandit world right now, so I guess Eastbound and Down would be my walk-up.
So, Bo, I'm actually wearing my Reds 2023 spring training hat today.
I see that.
And I was out there, and it was so cool watching batting practice, and I'm literally standing right next to Eric Davis, who was like my hero when I was 8 years old. So that's really, really cool. So I would not want to have just one walk-up song. I would want to rotate mine.
I like it.
All the time. So one of my favorite songs ever is Home by 3 Days Grace, so I think I would have to... Right. Have that one. And then outside of that, I think I would want some upbeat stuff. I'd probably throw Michael Jackson's Billie Jean in there. And I don't know why anything Pitbull hypes me up when he does the
We did not have that on the bingo card.
I'm all in when Pitbull does that. So, I mean, that gets people up and moving. So, I also like the song. I don't know what it is. There's a UFC fighter named Patty Pimblett who comes out to this song that's like just all kinds of, it's crazy. And he does this little thing with his arms and the whole arena does it. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I did not have Pitbull Reese on my bingo card of bake walk-up songs.
No,
Mr. Worldwide.
I think, and we might get thrown off of YouTube for this, but if I'm bringing a baseball bat and I'm trying to hit something, when you hear the glass, I believe he says, I would look at the pitcher and say, that's your ass.
That's pretty good.
We'll stay.
That is pretty good.
In the YouTube chat. We got Connor. Hey, guys, you can build your own NFL coaching staff. Who's the head coach, OC, and DC?
Wow. I mean, I think, boy, it'd be hard to argue with Andy Reid's success over the last 25 years. That feels like kind of an automatic. I think both Harbaugh and Tomlin are great. I think that I think the best coach in the National Football League of maximizing is probably, for me, it feels like it's Kyle Shanahan. And I know he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but I just feel like his teams win no matter what. It feels like they're in the mix no matter what. Offensively, they're fun no matter what. McVay probably has a little of that too, where no matter what, there's a success to it. Dan Campbell is an easy one because it would be the most fun ever to have Dan Campbell coach your team. That would seem to be, I mean, he's kind of like a modern Ditka. So those are some of the ones that come to mind. I mean, ideal staff, like, there's a lot of different ways you could go there.
I was going to say, give me Shanahan as my OC and Mike McDonald as my DC. Yeah, Dan Campbell's the head coach.
Yeah, he's just so much fun.
Give me Tomlin as the head coach. Give me Sean McVay as my offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And either Jim Schwartz. Well, I'm not going to say the other one. I don't want to talk him back into the NFL. So Jim Schwartz is my defensive coordinator.
McDonald would be pretty good in Seattle. I mean, like, really, Baltimore kind of had a lot of this. I mean, they had Monken, Harbaugh, McDonald. That's pretty good staff that they had there.
Jay Walken asks on the YouTube chat, hey, guys, my wife and I have been together for 10 years, and because of kids and time, we've decided to not get each other gifts for Valentine's Day. He asks, do I need a backup present just in case?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
It's not even a backup. You just get her one.
Get the gift.
Honey, I know we said, but I love you so much.
I love you too much. I can't.
I couldn't do that to you.
Yeah. No. Don't. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. When they say, let's not get gifts, when they say, let's not do it, it's all a trap. They're trapping you, and you have to be able to see through it. It's not on the level at all. Oh, don't worry about it. And they may not get you one. Fine. You don't need anything anyway, but be damn sure you have something. Be damn sure. Cause it is 100% expected. Chris Vanini in 2 minutes on college football and where we stand at the moment. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Thing about the fans contest, how to win, or what's up for grabs, check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed, it is. Time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Chris Vanini. Covers college football at The Athletic at a very, very high level, and he joins us there now. We've had a little more than a month here since this season came and went. When you talk to folks around the sport, what lessons, if any, can they glean from what went down this year in terms of how to build a national champion in college football? Or is the consensus maybe that what Indiana did was a one-of-one situation?
I mean, I think there's a few things. I think one, really the last three national championships go to show the value of having older teams, experienced teams. Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana were both very veteran teams. Michigan and Ohio State just had people turn down the NFL to come back. It's why I picked Penn State to win last year's national championship, because I thought they were going to fall. Instead, it was Indiana who had the veteran team who got things done. And the Kurt Cignetti of it all hangs over every program, every coaching search, along the lines of, like, how did we miss this guy? How did nobody see it? When we're looking at hiring a coach, what is the value of that? And I think you've seen as well a lot of schools hiring sitting head coaches, knowing that those coaches are going to bring a lot of good players with them now in this transfer portal era, which Cignetti was able to do. And the other part is just investing in football. I think people didn't realize that Indiana has dramatically increased its football budget over the last 5 years. And that's from recruiting to this and that. Like, they don't lose guys to the portal, the guys that they want to keep. And so you keep your guys you want, you add the guys you need, that leads to a really good team.
And Chris, yeah, I think you have to be careful here. And, you know, I want to get into kind of Ohio State's plan here and kind of your thoughts on that. But just from the perspective of, oh, well, if Indiana do it, anybody can. But it really was the perfect storm, as you just articulated there. And I am not going to put like this on any of the new coaches who were hired. But I do think that that process was attempted to be followed many times. And best examples probably at Oklahoma State, where you say, hey, hire the coach, get the quarterback, bring those guys with you. And basically what it provides, Chris, is you're starting on second base, aren't you, in terms of your culture, your roster, all of it?
Yeah, I mean, sports have always been about your players. You know, you got to have the good players, you got to have the right players. But in college, you didn't have free agency, you didn't have trades and stuff like that. All you could really do was buy a coach from somewhere else and hope he could recruit guys. But now you're getting players with the coach. In Oklahoma State, you got Drew Mestemaker, might be the best quarterback in the portal. Really good running back and wide receiver went with him as well. And so you're finding a way to make your team better because you're going to get some really good players that come along. Like Penn State's brought a ton of Iowa State guys over. Auburn got a bunch of USF guys. You see it, a couple of dozen players here and there. And instead of, hey, maybe can we get this one player? Can we get this coach? You can get it all together. And that's what Cignetti did 2 years ago when he brought a ton of really good JMU players over, like D'Angelo Pons and stuff like that. Those guys turned out to be really good. And so sitting head coaches are suddenly more appealing on the coaching carousel market.
Chris, at the very high end of the sport, and obviously Ohio State has occupied that space for a very, very long time, but my sense around here is that rather than 25 recruits coming in every year, it'll be 15 to 18. I don't think you're going to find a scenario where you're going to get, you know, 7 5 stars. I think they will try for 4 to 6 of them, and then they will fill the rest of their roster with, you know, maybe Ohioans, 3 and 4 star guys they can develop, and then the emphasis will be on the portal as well, and that's kind of the needle that they're trying to thread here. Is that what I just outlined, what you're hearing at the highest end of the sport, the Georgias, the Texases? Is that, and by the way, Mark Pantone had to do this in, like, they switched their philosophy in like a month. It all kind of changed in a month. Are you hearing more and more of that kind of being the model?
Sort of. It's hard to judge recruiting classes, and in some ways, I would only put stock in the top handful of guys of a recruiting class, because it's like half those guys are probably going to be gone in 2 years. And so can you hit on enough guys that you get enough starters or backups out of that group pretty early, prepare to lose the other guys, and you have a staff in place that's able to find guys elsewhere who can come in and give you depth? Because the roster turnover year to year just isn't changing unless Congress gives college football the ability to change some rules. But the unlimited transfer means you're just going to have a lot of turnover every single year. And you got to be able to, like Indiana, keep the guys you want to keep and add guys where you need to fill a couple of holes. And that's what it's going to be for everybody. It's why Alabama isn't what Alabama used to be anymore, because they used to get 3 5-star running backs in a recruiting class, those guys would wait 2 to 3 years, and then it was their turn. Those guys aren't doing that anymore at those top schools, and so you just have to be prepared every year for turnover, for finding guys. You got to have good scouting. You know, you have to know who you're going to go after before the season ends and be ready to make those moves.
my hunch is a lot of the usual suspects at the top of the sport, once we get into the preseason stuff in the summer and all of that, in terms of a pro, are there a couple of programs that you look at and go, as difficult as all this is, they really crushed the transition phase from the 25 season to the 26. Who do you kind of like the look of here before we get into, you know, spring football here in a couple of weeks?
I think I start with Oregon in that they were able to keep Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. Might be the best quarterback in the country, could have been the number two pick. The whole defensive line is coming back as well. They all announced they were coming back. Got some good young running backs there. But you got questions at Oregon. They did lose some star guys to the NFL. They did have to replace both of their coordinators, both of whom ended up being promoted from within. And I you know, we had a poll among our 28 writers at The Athletic. Who do you think is going to win the championship? 9 different teams got votes. Hmm. And wow, that's great. Oregon got the most. Oregon got, I think, 11, but that's less than half. You know, Ohio State got some. Indiana got some. Notre Dame got some. Texas got some. LSU got one. Texas Tech got one. And so it really is. Just a few years ago, you know, we had like a almost like a 10-year period, it felt like, where you could pick who was going to win the national championship out of like 3 or 4 schools. You know, was it Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, or the field? Mm-hmm. And now, because of unrelated things all happening at once, the portal, unlimited transfers happening, NIL happening, the playoff expanding, all of those things happened separately that created the environment for Indiana to do what they did. You know, if Kurt Cignetti gets there and he can't bring those players with him from James Madison, it's a very different build for what he was going to be able to do. He may not be able to get Fernando Mendoza or not. And so all of those things have just changed very quickly how the sport works. And so it's wide open. Ohio State, absolutely, every year is going to have a chance to do that. But other teams are going to have a chance, too. And in a big picture perspective, that's very good for the sport, that a lot of teams feel like, you know, if a couple things go our way, we got a shot.
Talking to Christopher Vedini, excellent on college football at The Athletic on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Read him there. North Dakota State. So I went to Montana State, so this is near and dear to my heart, and I always get the, well, they should go up to Division I, and I'm always one of those ones, for full disclosure, that says, look, you got 30,000 people at your games, you get to compete for championships, that I think there's value in that, but the other side of it, too, is potentially a higher ceiling. What did you make of what the Bison did on Monday?
Ultimately, not a surprise that it happened. I just wasn't sure, you know, like, it's very expensive to do that. They're paying $12.5 million to the Mountain West to move up, paying $5 million to the NCAA to move up, and they're going to add 22 football scholarships and have to expand the budget. So, like, it's an expensive move up, but I know that they've got some recent, you know, donors stepping up to help that. Okay. They had to do it just because they needed something more. They have won 10 of the last 15 FCS national championships. And outside of a couple of games every year, the fans had gotten bored. You know, it's not dissimilar to what Ohio State has been the last, you know, couple of years. You win every game by 40 points, except for you got your couple of rivalry games and you got your national championship. And, you know, they weren't selling out playoff games anymore. Attendance was starting to dip because everybody had just seen that. And not only that, you see James Madison leave FCS. You see Sam Houston leave. You see Delaware leave. You see all these other programs who you used to compete directly against moving up because they had better geography. That was the reason North Dakota State hadn't moved up for so long, is that they didn't quite fit anywhere. You know, they're up there in the Dakotas. They're in the central time zone. They're not in the mountain time zone. Mm-hmm. They didn't really fit anywhere, and they didn't want to maybe necessarily join up to a conference that isn't like Conference USA, mm-hmm. you know, but things changed. The Mountain West splitting the way it did, needing some members, and North Dakota State seeing the environment changing, seeing James Madison go to the college football playoff last year. Mm-hmm. Like at that point, it's like, all right, we got to do what we can to get up here because we need a greater challenge. And that's what they're doing.
Chris, I'll get you out of here on this one. Before the start of next season, will we see a single meaningful change in terms of what one of the many things that need to be sorted in this sport in terms of the logistics? Will we see one meaningful change before we kick off next season?
I mean, you might see a calendar change around like signing day, perhaps, or a plan next year to move to week zero. But I don't see any changes that are going to impact next season. Stuff like this usually takes a couple years to go into effect.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for your time.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. Chris Fedini, college football at The Athletic on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get your officially endorsed in three things on a first Friday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on the...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football Impact Report.
With defensive tackles Caden McDonald and Tywan Malone declaring for the NFL draft, head coach Ryan Day added redshirt junior John Walker from Central Florida and senior James Smith from Alabama, two defensive tackles he was already familiar with.
Both guys that we recruited during the high school process, so we were aware of who they were. Both are seniors. Both are guys who have experience there, so that's great. So we're excited about them.
Former Alabama defensive end Quay Russo will join Smith from Tuscaloosa to Columbus, providing versatility up front.
He can line up off the ball. He could line up on the ball. He could line up down. He could line up off the edge and brings a lot of pass rush ability, so that was good. Again, James and Quay are coming from Alabama. That was a big deal. That really helped us in terms of building some depth in there and getting a little bit more getting older.
This report brought to you by SafeLight Auto Glass. This is Tyler Danberg on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. SafeLight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. SafeLight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the best-selling Camry. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Camry. Or lease a new Camry LE for just $279 a month for 39 months with $3,699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Get in the zone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have on the poll today?
I'm just going to say, personally, I do not condone this fan poll because it's still February.
Okay.
And there's still hope. But the Daily Fan Poll asks, if the Ohio State men's basketball team misses the NCAA tournament, would Bruce Thornton be the best Buckeye to never make the big dance? 85% say yes.
Who's currently that? The answer to that?
I don't even know. Like who? I don't know.
Who else is in that realm? Is there a
like?
because the good players, you know, like EJ Liddell and Cada, they made it. They made the tournament.
And obviously, have to be the one and doneer.
Is there some from the 80s maybe that never made an NCAA tournament?
That's probably where you'd have to go.
Like, I think of like Carlos Davis.
Just recently, like Bryce Sensabaugh.
Yeah, no.
But I can't. Yeah, you can't put him in that
four-year guy.
Yeah, like, again, I'd push back on this fan poll because there's still time, and that's how can you make that kind of a comparison?
I don't
get that.
Ew, tough spot. Gross.
He will be the answer to it if that's the case, clearly, in terms of being a four-year starter with and one of the all-time leading scores in the history of the program. It's officially First Friday. Hit it, guys.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
So this is what on Friday, God willing, we get there in good time and have good luck on the flights. On Friday, I'm flying to Southern California. And when we land, I will have a lunch of some sort of taco. It's going to be in that world is going to be what the lunch is. I know where it's going to be and everything. And the order is going to be this. And it's my go-to order in warm climates every single time. And it is a Grand Centenario Añejo on rocks with two limes and salt. And that's the get-go. It's time to go right now. That's it. That puts me in a spot. That's what I'm going to enjoy on my actual Friday when the sun is basking down. Looks like the highs will be in the high 70s, all sun-kissed. Let's go. It works as you're officially endorsed on this fine First Friday. Time for three things. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Number one for me, today is Buster Douglas Day. On this day, he knocked out Mike Tyson and provided one of the most shocking results in the history of sport. One of those ones, of course, Tim May was famously there. He always wants credit for picking Buster to win, but he always picks the home team to win, so I always refuse to give him the credit for that. But credit to Buster and Coach and everybody who did it. Don't ever want to let that day go by and not remember it in all of its glory that it was. I'll never forget reading the newspaper the next morning and trying to understand how it possibly could have happened. And the reality is Buster just beat him up. He just did. And then he knocked him out. And it's an all-time, and it's so cool that we have ties to it. It's so cool that I've got to know Buster through the years. And it's one of those things that you never want to let pass the day as the anniversary.
He's obviously become a good friend, but I even remember then at 9 years old, watching Doug Lascelles at Damon's.
Yeah.
And reporting on it live and coming on after saying that he had just knocked out. And I always give Doug grief because he's that much older than me, but just so cool right. that he was able to be a part of that and do that.
So I just saw this come across. Ohio State has, it looks like, 10 or 11 invitees for the NFL's scouting combine next week. C.J. Donaldson, Carnell Tate, Max Clair, Will Casmerick, Caden Curry, Caden McDonald, Sonny Styles, Arvil Reese, Davison Igbinosin, Lorenzo Styles, and Caleb Downs will be the 11 Buckeyes headed to Indianapolis starting, what, a week from this coming Monday?
A week from Monday. Yeah, I'd be curious if they all make it or what they do. Like, how much do they participate in? Do they just do the interviews? Like, all of those things will be fascinating for those guys. Some of those guys going to make some hay.
How many of them work out? That's the question.
I think that's a great question.
And participate.
And then what do you do? Like, if you do it, how much do you do? Do you lift? Do you, you know, do you run the 40 or not? Like,
A couple of weeks ago, the CBJ had their game against the Los Angeles Kings postponed because of the weather. We knew that that game was going to be made up on Monday, March 9th. We now have the time. It is going to be a 4 p.m. start on Monday, March 9th. When I heard this news a couple weeks ago, I asked, like, why a 4 o'clock start? And they just said that's what the Players Association came up with. I know both the Blue Jackets and the Kings have games the next night in other cities. Mm-hmm. Like the Kings are heading to Boston, and the Blue Jackets are heading down to Tampa. So maybe they're just starting early to give them a little more time to travel. But a 4 p.m. Monday start on March 9th for some Jackets hockey.
That's kind of a fun little matinee.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, if you're able to, and get down there and check it out. Number two for me, this happens every year at this time. The youth basketball programs are leaking oil. So you just play these, you get done with your league, you play the league tournament, then you play two massive tournaments with high level of competition. And then we always give the programs off for President's Day because a lot of folks want to go away and they want to get a short weekend away, just as I'm doing. And so you're at this point where it's like nobody really wants to practice. You have one tournament left that's happening the following week. We do it every single year. Every year I'm like, why do we do this? And hope maybe next year I'll have the sense to stop it. But we are completely leaking oil across the youth basketball world as it stands right now, just waiting for AAU.
Coming up here in about 30 minutes, we've got our first meeting of 2026. For the Fan 5K. This will be the second year we're doing it. It was 971 the race last year. I think we got a little too attached to the 971 thing. The Fan 5K sounds much better. It passed the focus groups. But really excited to announce that for June 20th at Otterbein, it'll be at 8 a.m. start for that. But M3S or 971therace.com or M3SSports.com. If you want to register early, your boy's doing it again this year.
Nice.
You're about to have a second say-in. Playing quarterback in Columbus, Clayton Tune signed a futures deal with the Green Bay Packers over the weekend, so that left the Columbus Aviators one quarterback short on their roster. Well, they have signed Julian's older brother, Aiden, to the team. Hey, he had 31 starts for Penn between 21 and 24, so he's going to be playing pro football in the same town his younger brother's playing college football.
All right, we're up against it. I am going to charge AR with this one. I want to know his Barrett Jackson all green lights purchase. That's what I want. Like all green lights, you get to buy one. What is it? You have that to look forward to. It is a First Friday. Make sure you act accordingly. We're back tomorrow, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Hey there, friends. It's Bo Bishop.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call